We're going to talk about the power of faith. Okay, does anybody remember remotely what last week's title was? The power of love, right? Think Huey Lewis in the news. We talked about that in the beginning, I think, that song, and that they got one part of that lyric right, and that was to know that love comes from above or from God. Okay, but we're going to press in a little bit this morning and talk about the power of faith. And you'll begin to see a pattern as we go through. I don't want to jump too far ahead, but let's start with some prayer this morning as we enter in. God, it's your word. Father, it's your scriptures that have been put together and given to us. Father, as you inspired, Father, the man of God to write and to give to us. And Father, I pray this morning that it is made alive for us, that it stands out. Certain pieces will, parts of it will be more influential than we have allowed in the past. And that, Lord, we will look at you differently after we go through these scriptures and after we partake of your word this morning, that it changes us a little bit on the inside, Lord. Our reverence for you is greater. Our hope in you is greater. Our faith towards you is greater, Lord. And that we're receiving of your love and your grace, your goodness that is poured out from you every moment of every day towards us. Father, we love you and thank you. Encourage us as we press forward into our week, Lord, to change hearts and minds and lives of the people around us, Lord, through you and allowing you to live and breathe through us. Father, we praise you for it, and it's in Jesus' name that we say amen. Amen. So last week, we talked about the power of love, right? Or more specifically, God's love in us. Okay, is how, if you read it in some Bibles, it'll say love or God's love in me is the way that it writes it out. So it's about God's love in us flowing in and through our life. You know, the Bible says that God is love, right? You guys wouldn't let's try that again. God is love. There we go. You guys got it. Okay, and we know that love is powerful. And that they that love God are known of loving God, and that we love others because of it. It's God's love in us. It creates something in us that helps us to walk in love towards one another. We know that love covers the multitude of sins. We know love never fails. We know that love looks for the best in everything and everyone. And we know that love conquers all, right? Love is powerful. Okay, well, love is also one of three things in your life that is described by God's word as being eternal. Okay, it is so intense, okay, and so steadfast, the love of God, that it has no beginning and no end. God loves you perfectly. He loves you unconditionally. Love is that powerful. And 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13, it's the end of, or the little passage a lot of these people call the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13. But there's this passage talking specifically about love. And in 1 Corinthians 13:13, it says, "And now abideth," okay, "faith, hope, and charity," or love. Okay, "these three, but the greatest of these is charity." As the Apostle Paul is encouraging his readers to persevere in our purpose on this earth. You know, what are we here for? He tells us that the base things, the root, okay, the core things in your life is what at times your life is going to be reduced down to, and only the pure and the solid and the eternal things are going to endure and stand and remain. Okay, there's a scripture that alludes to that in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 27. It says, "And this word yet once more signifies the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, so that those things which cannot be shaken may remain." And nobody likes that part of life when life gets shaken a little bit. But you will find out who you are and what you're made of. You're seeing it in our countries right now. Leadership, people that are in leadership positions are finding out what they're made of. This coronavirus stuff has taxed a lot of people. And to find out some people just don't deal with that kind of thing very well. Their core things that were trying to hold them together aren't making it, aren't cutting it at that moment. Okay, well, faith, hope, and love are like the three foundational pillars in your life. Okay, faith, hope, and love. These three things abide. They remain. They're steadfast. They're ongoing. Faith, hope, and love. Okay, many years ago, I taught an anger management class for a company that I work for. And my co-teacher, in this class, we were teaching it. It was part of a, people had been sort of sentenced to it by the court, and they had to take this, and my friend and I were working with their kids, so we got picked to be the ones that taught the anger management to the parents. And so it was this class that we put on, and it was once a week, every Tuesday night or something, we'd get together and we had these classes. Well, one of the things that we had to do, or that we tried to do at least, was to help people understand the core pillars of their life, to realize the foundational basis, to figure out what their strong foundational support system was. Okay, and so we took three of the like Dixie cups, the paper cups. Okay, took three of those cups and we put them upside down on the floor in kind of a small grouping. And my coworker, he's like a 200 plus pound man. He actually took those three cups. I put them on the floor, and he puts his foot on them, and he stands up on those three cups and balances like this on three paper cups. Then I said, "We want to show you what happens if some of your support system is not there." So I had my friend step down off the cups. I took one of the cups and threw it off to the side. Okay, we told them and taught them what those cups should be. Okay, those cups should represent things in their life that will help them. Consistent reinforcements. Okay, things like God, things like family, things like your work. Okay, and then we said if you want to add some more supports, you add in your health and your like exercise and sleep and nutrition and things that will help to give you that support. So as I had my friend step down and I take one of these three cups and I threw it off to the side and I had him step back up under it and it instantly crushed under the weight of his foot. Okay, three cups would hold up a 200-pound guy. Two cups simply could not do it. And the whole point was that if you have three foundational cores in your life and you try to leave one out or you forget one, you neglect one, it's a broken cup, whatever, it's not going to be able to support you during that time and hold you up during those difficult times. Faith, hope, and love make up this unmovable, unshakable foundation for your life. Okay, and we started last week by looking at love. Mainly 1 Corinthians 13:13 says that faith, hope, and love, they abide, right? They remain. But the greatest of these is... Okay, the greatest of these is... There we go. Okay, so the greatest of these is love. So I started with love. Okay, and we're looking at these three pillars. This week's the power of faith. Next week will be the power of hope. Okay, because I want to show you these three pillars. But we started with faith. I'm starting with hope because hope is what the Bible says the greatest of these. Love is extremely powerful. Okay, but over this week and next week, I want to show you that faith and hope are extremely impressive as well when it comes to holding up your life in times when you need it. So today we're going to look at the power of faith. Okay, and I don't think any discussion on faith would be conclusive if we didn't at least reference the faith chapter in Hebrews chapter 11. Right? In the first few verses of that it says, "Now faith is," and it gives this definition. And I want to look at that. So Hebrews chapter 11, starting with verse 1, and we'll read the first three verses. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." Okay, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Okay, that means that faith is the assurance. Okay, it is the, you could call it the title deed or the confirmation of things that you're hoping for. Okay, some of you have probably bought or sold a house before. Anybody? Bought or sold a house. You know that whoever holds the title deed owns the house. Right? It represents that title deed represents ownership. Okay? It depicts possession. Okay? In the end, whoever owns that title deed is ultimately going to obtain possession of whatever it says on that deed. Okay? If you have a mortgage, who owns the house? Do you own the house or does the mortgage company own the house? They still hold the mortgage deed, right? They still own that. Okay, in the end, if you quit paying, it goes to them, correct? Am I right? You guys with me? Whoever has that has possession. They're the ones that ultimately are going to get possession of that. Okay, so I remember an episode one time of an old family TV show called The Waltons. Anybody remember The Waltons? Love The Waltons. John Walton, he wasn't a big church-going man, but the man had some things right. I enjoy watching him. And he was a wood guy, and I'm a wood guy, so I can relate to John Walton. But one time I remember an episode where they had, it was during the Depression, and John Walton goes to Charlottesville or wherever it was to pay off his house. It was the final mortgage payment, and they had made enough and whatever and had enough woodwork they got done, and he was going to pay that off. And it was a big deal for the whole neighborhood. I mean, all the, you know, the guy that ran the store and the neighbors and everybody knew that he was going to make the final payment on his mortgage and that he would then own his house free and clear. And they went so far as making a big deal out of it that they had I think it was called a mortgage burning party, okay, set up so that when John and Olivia came back from Charlottesville and paying off that mortgage, that they actually stood up on their porch. They had a big party. They stood on their porch and they lit it on fire, okay, and burned up the mortgage saying, "It is no more. We now own this house free and clear." That's how big of a deal owning that deed is, or having that final deed. Okay, your faith is your deed. Okay, your faith is what says what's on this is now mine. Okay, it's your faith that makes that happen. It is the substance and the confirmation of whatever you've prayed for. Okay, that is where your faith comes into play. Now let me ask you another question. How many of you have ever bought something online or bought something over the phone? Anybody? Did they send you a confirmation email? Or did they give you, I've done this where you're getting a hotel room and they'll say, "Well, Mr. Gilbert, your confirmation number is," and they give you a number that says what? It says, "You have made payment," or "You have requested, we have acknowledged that you requested, and it is now on its way to you." That's what a confirmation email means to me. I ordered something the other day, some natural vitamin stuff online, and by the time I went back to my computer an hour later, I had a confirmation email that says, "Thank you, your order is on its way. We've received your order, we acknowledge it, it is now on its way to you." Okay, well, your faith is your confirmation email. Your faith is what says it's been sent out, received, and is on its way. That is what your faith does. Okay, it means that it is on its way. I made my request known to God. He has received and acknowledged and put my answer on its way. That's what my faith does. Okay, this is how you can know that you receive something when you pray for it, like it says in Mark chapter 11. Okay, Mark chapter 11, 24 says, "What things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have it." Okay, that's when you pray, your confirmation receipt is your prayer of faith. I'm praying in faith saying, "I'm praying and I can believe that I receive this right now because my faith is my confirmation email." My faith is what says, God heard, God acknowledged, and God already sent the answer. Okay, that is having confirmed faith for things that you're hoping for. Okay, it is having faith in something that is divinely guaranteed. Okay, by God's word, he says, "Pray in faith, you will receive." So we're divinely guaranteed what we what we are praying for. It is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Okay, in other words, your faith is the conviction of their reality. Okay, how can you have faith in something you have never seen? Okay, your faith is what comprehends something as a fact when it has not been experienced by your physical senses. Okay, you can't hear faith. You can't taste or touch or even see faith. Okay, you can see the actions that result from your faith, but your actual faith is that conviction on the inside of you that you know that you know. Okay, I call it knowing in your knower. Okay, it's you know that you know. We had somebody a couple weeks ago that came and asked for prayer about a job that they were looking at. Okay, and they were going to apply for a job and interview for it. And a week or so later, I said, how are things going with the job? And she said, well, they haven't offered to me yet, but I know that I have it. And I thought, that is faith. That is a conviction of something that you already know in your heart. And I've shared that many times on job interviews and things that I've done over the years, that there's a knowing in your knower. Okay, when you I told Margie before I even called and applied for a job, I told her, if I apply for that job, I already know that I'll get it. Do I really want to apply? That was my question. Okay, because I knew inside. By faith, I had this knowing that if I just even put it out there, it was going to come to pass. Okay, and that is a knowing in your knower. That is that conviction of the reality of something that you have not yet even seen, but you know that it is coming to pass. Okay, you can see the actions that come from your faith, but it is that conviction inside of you that actually lets you know that you know. Faith, the Bible says, is the evidence of things not seen. Okay, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3 says that through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Okay, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. What that means is that by faith we understand, and by faith we know that the known universe, the known and unknown universe, the age that we live in, that they were framed and created and formed and put in order, equipped to do what God wanted them to do at the Word of God. God said, boom, and it happened. Okay, that is what we believe. And that believing is what connects us with God in faith. We believe in what we didn't see happen. I believe that God created the heavens and the earth. I believe that God created me. I believe that God put the stars in the sky. I believe that God makes the sun come up and go down every day. God did that. And by that faith, by believing in that, we acknowledge that it is at God's word that things get done. Okay, I can talk to God and say, God, I know you just boom and say it and it's done. Right? He said what? Let there be light. And there was light. Okay, that's that power of the command of God. It comes from His Word. It is acknowledging that at God's Word things are done, and it lets God know at that moment that our faith is in Him. Okay, that our faith is in His power. Our faith is in His glory, His wisdom, His goodness, and not in our own. Okay, that is that acknowledgement of our faith. We adamantly believe that what we can see with our eyes was made by that which we cannot see, which is God. Does that make sense? We're trusting in, you know, God made the universe. That right there is an element of faith, because it's believing that all this was created by something I've never seen with my eyes. Okay, that is believing in God. That is an element of faith. See, the power of faith, that's what we're talking about today, the power of faith manifests itself. You begin to see more things happening when you have an inherent trust. Okay, and I call it enduring confidence in three things. An enduring confidence in the power of God, in the wisdom of God, and the goodness of God. Okay, those three things. I think I even had a slide that has those things on it, buddy. These three things, if you notice, the power of God. We believe and trust in the power of God. I didn't create light. I didn't make the earth. I didn't make you and me. Okay, I had a little part in making my kids, but apart from that, it was God, right? I believe in the power of God. I believe in the wisdom of God, because by the wisdom of God, he did what he did. If you think mankind has never been able to put together a human body to make it function and do all the things that it could do. My first son was born, and I stood in that little waiting room, or the little area there, we were giving the baby, I got to give him his first bath kind of thing for Elijah, and I wept and I cried, and I thought, this is a miracle of God, that this just came out of I saw it happen, and this is a miracle, because I could never, ever make something like that. I couldn't put it together. I couldn't make it fathom. How did he hold his breath for 9 months? You know, that stuff is just mind-boggling. But that is how I believe in the wisdom of God. Because he can do so much more and know so much more than we do. Okay, and then the goodness of God, we'll get to that in a minute as well. So number one, if you're writing this down, I got these three things. I want to talk to you about the power of faith. Okay, we have faith in God's power. Okay, our dependence on God and our confident belief in his power and not our own power is key. Okay, God can create the heavens and the earth. I can't. I believe in his power. Okay, in the Apostle Paul's letter to the Christians in Corinth, he addresses their assumption that they thought he was wise and that he was powerful because of some of the things that they had heard about his life, some of the things that he had said unto them. And this is what Paul responds in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. The Apostle Paul said, "My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but it was in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Okay, Paul deflected their praise and esteem to God. And he says, what you heard sounded like enticing words from man, but that was the wisdom of God. What you heard of the healings and what you heard of the miracles and things being done through my life sounds like it was me, but it wasn't. That was the power of God. So he deflects their praise and says, that wasn't me, that was God. And again, pointing people to God instead of himself. Because we don't want our faith to be in ourselves. Okay, not in, you know, yes, we have belief, we have confidence, we have things that God is going to do in and through our life. But if you're praying for something, and you think that the result or that answer is dependent on you and your power, if it's dependent on your wisdom, if it's dependent even on, and this will get us all, if it's dependent on your correctness in word or deed, if you're praying for something and the answer is dependent on me having done everything perfect, then my faith is not in God, but it still rests somewhat on me. Okay, if I'm praying to God and I say, God, I've started reading my Bible every day. I went to church for the last 3 weeks in a row. I've been doing this and I've been doing that. Could you please, help me get this new job I'm looking at? That is saying to God that it's all based on because I've been doing this and because I've been doing that and because I did this, now will you bless me? Okay, that is taking the power of the answer to that prayer and making it dependent on me. Did I do everything right? Did I do enough? Did I do it good enough in order for God to be able to bless me? You know, sometimes people try to make faith into a formula. Okay, and I've been there. I have to say I've been there. Okay, where faith was like a formula. You had to say it a certain way. You have to end your prayers in Jesus' name. You have to, kind of do all these certain things. Oh, here's the one that got me. If you pray for something and then you think about it again, or you pray about it again, you're in doubt and you'll never see it. Okay, that's making it dependent on me. Who's that answer coming from? It's a miracle that I'm looking for. It's not going to happen because I did something perfect. It's going to happen because he is perfect. because he wants to give that. He wants to bless you, and that's the goodness of God. I'll explain to you in a minute. Whatever that we're praying for, the truth comes down to your faith simply being your title deed. Your faith is your confirmation in God's power. I believe that I prayed to the Almighty God. I believe I prayed to someone who is bigger, greater, stronger, faster, more powerful than anything I could ever come up with. I'm praying to him. You remember when Peter laid hands on the man that was sitting at the temple, and he lays hands on the guys and prays for him. The guy had been crippled from birth. Okay, the Bible says, and the man raises up and his legs gain strength. You guys kind of remember that story. Peter and John were going into the temple, and this guy would have people carry him up and set him on the steps of the temple. And he would ask for alms or money from people that were going and coming from the temple. And he's sitting there, and Peter and John are coming up to the temple to praise and to pray. And the guy looks at them as if he's going to receive something from them. And Peter looks at him and says, silver and gold, he said, look at me, look at us. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up. And he grabs the man by the hand and lifts him up, and the man leaps up and begins dancing, and they all praise God as they leap and dance into the sanctuary, into the temple, okay, to go praise God. Okay, well, when that incident happened, the people that saw it, the people that heard about it instantly, word spread right away, they began oohing and aahing over Peter and John. Okay, these guys have got something. They've got a power. These guys are so powerful that they raised up this man that we've seen at the temple gate for years and years as not having strength in his legs, and these guys did it in an instant. And here's what Peter says in Acts chapter 3, verse 12. When Peter saw that the people were kind of oohing and aahing over them and trying to make them out to great some great thing, when Peter saw it, he answered and said unto the people, you men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? See, Peter got a little, I call it almost defensive. If you know Peter's life, he kind of did that a lot. He gets a little defensive and says, hey, wait a minute. Don't look at us like it was our power that healed this man. Don't put your faith in us, in our power. Put your faith in God. And he goes on and explains about two chapters worth on how it was God and Jesus and that whole story so that their faith would be in Jesus and not in them, not in John and Peter. Okay, God's power is unlimited. Okay, and his ability to bless us, except by the limits that we put on him by taking our faith from him and putting it onto ourselves in our own circumstances. God can do anything. He can create light, heaven, earth, you and me. Create an animal, make a baby in a womb, hold his breath for 9 months. God can do stuff like that we could never do. And as soon as I start taking that away from God and saying, but what about me? I can do this and I can do that. We begin to limit what God is going to do. God is powerful. Right? Everybody agree with that? God is powerful. God can part seas and make a path for you where there is no path. Right? God can move a mountain and make your path just become easier. Right? Now there's no up and down. Now it's just going straight through. God can close the mouths of lions. Okay, he can close the mouths of the naysayers. He can close the mouths of the obnoxious employee that keeps cutting you down at work because you're a Jesus person, right? He can do those kind of things. He can make things happen that we cannot do. He can make a wall crumble. Okay, the walls that you have in your life, God can crumble those walls so that the success, that victory, whatever it is, can now be realized. Okay, he can make things happen that we simply could not do. He'll use us, yes, he'll use us to do some things, but he is the one that is going to do these things in his own way. He can heal us. He can protect us. God can provide without limitations when our faith is 100% in him. Okay, that is the power of faith in his power. Okay, faith manifests when we have this built-in trust, this ongoing confidence in the power, the wisdom, and the goodness of God. Number two is wisdom. Okay, some people struggle because you think that you have to be the wise one. You have to figure this out. I just got to know what to do. I need to figure out what I need to do next. Some people struggle because they think that they somehow have to determine how to overcome a sin in their life, how to be set free, or how to go in a certain direction. Or you allow your mind to be consumed with fear because you don't know the future. But your faith should be not in you to figure it out, but in the wisdom of God. Because God knows exactly what you should do next. He knows what the next best move is going to be for you. He understands the unseen realm perfectly. Okay? So God sees the unseen forces that are coming at you, trying to create fear and anxiety and doubt and worry and sickness and whatever else. He knows exactly how to come against that and prevail against it. God has that answer. God is infinite in wisdom. Proverbs 2:6 says this. It says, "For the Lord gives wisdom. Out of His mouth comes knowledge and understanding." And Proverbs 13:10 says, "Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom." Okay, wisdom, in other words, is found in those who will take advice. And humbly getting your advice from God will help you to make better decisions. Okay, that is coming to Him saying, "God, this seems like an easy choice here, but I'm still going to come to You for the wisdom to make sure that I make the right choice." That is humbly coming to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 25, we're reminded that even the foolishness of God is wiser than men. And even the weakness of God is still stronger than man. God knows. God is wiser. God is more powerful than we are. God should be our go-to source for every ounce of wisdom that we need for any particular area to handle what comes up in our life. And remember about wisdom in James chapter 1, verse 5 through 8. James said this. He said, "If any of you lacks wisdom or needs wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally, freely, and upbraideth or holds it not back, and it shall be given him." But listen to this, verse 6. "But let him ask in faith, not wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways." How are we supposed to ask of God for wisdom? Verse 6. Let him ask. Okay, let me get the microphone. How are we supposed to ask of God? In faith. That's right. We ask of God in faith. In faith in Him. Okay, not in our own wisdom. Okay, it's faith in God. Not wavering between faith in God and then faith in Gary and then faith in God and then faith in me. That's that wavering that He's saying, don't waver. Ask in faith and stay in faith toward God. Okay, not towards ourselves. Okay, staying fixated on God as the solution. Staying fixated on God as the sole source of the wisdom that we require to successfully move on. Okay, that is the power of faith. Faith manifests itself when we maintain our trust and our confidence in the power of God, in the wisdom of God, and in the goodness of God. Okay, David said, and that's number 3, the goodness of God. David said that he would have fainted unless he had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Okay, not in the by and by. There's great things coming. Heaven is good. Heaven will be wonderful. But God wants to give good now. He wants to give you a good thing here so you can live in abundance here on earth as well. One of my favorite verses in the entire Bible, and I have a lot, but this is one of them, is I think it's Luke 12. Yes, Luke 12, 32. It says, "Fear not, little flock." This is Jesus. "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Okay, we're going to look more about this next week when we get into hope, because that this is where faith and hope come together. Because hope is a confident expectation of good. Okay, so if I have faith in God for good, I have a confident expectation in God for good things to happen. God is good. Okay, from the very beginning, when you look at Adam and Eve and even the creation of the world, God created things with goodness in mind. Okay, He has shown us that He is good and He is into giving good things to His people. Okay, look at this. When He created in Genesis, when He created the heavens and the earth, the Bible says this in Genesis 1:4. It says, God saw the light. Remember, God said, let there be light, and there was light. Okay, when God saw the light, He said, it is good. He saw that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. Genesis 1:10 says, and God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters He called the sea, and God saw that it was good. Okay, if God had a goal in mind, it was to make things good, right? He wanted to make it in a particular way. Genesis 1:12, the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good. That was His goal. Genesis 1:17, God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And again, God saw the sun and the moon were good. He had done what He needed to do. And then in Genesis 1:31, it says that God saw everything that He had made. Okay, who made it? God. It was His power. God saw everything that He made, and behold, it was very good. Okay, God compliments Himself, looks at it, says, look what I've done. I'm into giving good. I'm into making things good. I made good. It was very good. Right? Sounds like President Trump in some ways, doesn't he? And it goes on. It's good. It's very good. Very beautiful. Just beautiful. Whatever. Okay, then when God creates Adam and Eve, He sees Adam. He makes all the animals, all that stuff, and He gets to Adam, and He makes Adam. And again, He decides it's good, but there's more good that can happen. And even in Genesis 2, verse 18, the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone, so I will make a helpmate for him. God, in other words, saw that something was good, but it could be even better. And so He put things in motion to make it better. Okay, that's the nature of God. God is good, and He wants good things coming into your life. So when you're struggling and you're suffering sometimes, you know, it's not always easy to see how much better life can get at that moment. But remind yourself of this. If you get stuck in a rut, you're wondering why life is so hard, remind yourself of this. God loves you, and He is on your side, and He is constantly seeking your good. He wants good. He wants better. He wants the best in your life, and He is the source of that good. Every good and perfect gift cometh down from above, comes from God. Okay, that's the scripture. The only way that things will get better is when we confidently place our trust, put our faith in God and His willingness to bring good into our life. Okay, God is the source for the power in our life. God is the source of the wisdom, and God is the source of the good things. So this week, as we go into the world, go out and apply your faith. Grab onto stuff like you've already got the title deed. Man, I prayed for that. It's right here. Got my confirmation email. This coming, right? It means it's on its way. So when we apply our faith, we're going to see things happening in your life. And I believe if we do this week and we apply our faith, that we will experience the power of faith in our life. That we will see things going and growing in the direction that God wants for our personal life. Praise God. Father, we're praising You this morning. You're the uplifted one. You're the great one. You are the Almighty God. You are the Creator of heaven and earth. And Father, You created us, Father, all to be good, so that we may live out our life, Lord. I pray for the goodness of all the things that You want to pour into our life, that we will reach out and receive it. We will draw it in, Father. We will claim it as ours, like Your word says, Father. That we are confident by faith, by that title deed that we have that says, it is mine, I possess it, in the end, it is mine. And Father, we go through life believing and trusting in you and your greatness, your power, your wisdom, and your willingness to be good to us, to pour your goodness into our life, Lord. We praise you, we thank you for it, we trust you, and it's in Jesus' name that we say, amen. Amen. And